And of course, turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. Appreciate Brother Dale helping out. He and Brother Livermore, I guess they had tag team Sunday school teaching two Sundays ago. And then, of course, Brother Marwelly. And Brother Marwelly, of course, a good friend and a blessing. And appreciate him not only being a missionary, but also having pastored, having a pastor's heart. And that is always a blessing to me to have somebody come and be able to fill the pulpit that can really just be a help and not just holler and scream and yell, but he has a pastor's heart, and that's a blessing. And I appreciate that. And so I know it's been good. I've heard only good things, and that's always a blessing. We had a great trip. Brenda got to do a mother-daughter banquet. She loves to preach. She really did well. Anyway, but she got to do a mother-daughter banquet, and then we both did a marriage seminar, believe it or not. On a Thursday-Friday consecutive nights, it wasn't tag team, but we did get to split up. She got to preach to the women, and she likes that. And so we had a lot of fun with that. And so and then got to be with Ben and Becky Turner, and that was such a blessing. And I know the Baileys have, Pastor, you need to go see what they're doing. Well, we got to see it, and it is an amazing, amazing thing just to see Vancouver, to see the cost. I mean, it's just so expensive, and they have done a great, great work there, reaching multiple nationalities of people. And getting the gospel out, and just a good couple. So proud of them, being from our church and coming here or going there and doing a great work in Vancouver. And they, I got to preach for them, had a good time. Just such a blessing. And then I preached 12 times, and so it was good. It was a blessing. So. Anyway, Mrs. Rogers is with her mom. Many of you are still praying for her. She had a squamous cell cancer removed from her leg. That is a bad kind of a cancer, if there is such thing as a good cancer. But and it left a hole about like that, and very deep. They had to take a lot of it out to get all the cancer, but left a hole. And anyway, that became infected. She got a staph infection. Her leg was just terrible and has been now for a couple of weeks. And now she has another growth in her nose. And so there's just all kinds of things and going on. So Brenda is with her, and she has an appointment, I think, this week sometime to get some of that dealt with and looked at. So anyway, be in prayer for her. She, of course, would love to be back, as I love to be back. And anyway, so it's been, you have, and in the midst of all that, all kinds of things happening in people's lives. And of course, Sheila Finnis, her mother went to be with the Lord during that time. And we certainly, I got to talk to her and spend a little time with her dealing with that. And anyway, praise the Lord. God is on the throne, amen. He takes care of our situations and all of that, and I'm so glad that he does. Well, we're in Revelation chapter 22. We continue our study, and Brother Dale and I were talking. He said, well, Pastor, you're going to finish up. Yeah, one of these days we're going to finish up. As to when we finish up, that is a whole other subject. I don't know what to tell you on that. But definitely we will finish up one of these days. But we're in Revelation 22 and verse 3. Maybe I'll do a little review. Our verse is Revelation 21, verses 6 and 7. We are on section 7, the whole section covering 20 through 22, the last chapters of Revelation. And I've entitled that The Alpha and Omega. And lesson number 37, which is what we're on now, but it is the last lesson, the accomplishment of God's will. And so if you are following along and you'd like lesson 37, the ushers have those. If you do not have it, raise your hand. If you'd like one, again, it is lesson 37. Our memory verses, Revelation 21, 6 and 7. So let's go ahead and we'll say that together. We say the reference, then the verses, and then the reference again. And who needs it? Phyllis, you need one. All right, anybody else? Oh, several do. Brother Glenn, how many do you have? Do you have several?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have some more. Lindy, you need one? Oh, no. Patsy, you need one. Anybody else? Patsy needs one right there. All right. Very good. Let's go ahead and say that together and begin. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And let's say that again. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 6 and 7. Thank you, Father, for this time that we can spend in your word, and I pray that it is going to be profitable to us. Help me to convey the truth of the scripture today and to make it as clear as possible. And then I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us and apply it to each of our lives. I pray that you'll just bless our class and all the classes here at Berean today, and that your power will be seen in the lives of our people. May we be changed because of today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, we talked about, we started with Roman numeral 1, the future destiny, covering Revelation 21, 1 to 9, and started talking about the new heaven, the new earth, and all of that. And then we moved on to number 2, the fabulous description, and really a good description. And we are on that and been just really describing the new heaven, the new earth, and talked about the size, the shape, the walls, the gates, all of those different things, and the beauty really that is very, very evident of this this new heaven and new earth, and the foundations and the stones and the crystals and just the beauty. We just been kind of jumping around and sticking with different portions here, talking about the nations, the people that are on the earth, the tree of life that is there in the midst, the river, the water of life. And so just some different things. We refer to this as heaven. We refer to it as the new heaven. It is the future. It is what we should expect as Christians. There are many things in Scripture that the Bible does describe. There are a lot of things the Bible doesn't describe. In fact, I cannot say definitively that I will have a lake of chocolate. I don't know that. I really don't. The word chocolate in the Greek, I don't know what that is. Chocolatos, maybe. But there is no scripture that says that. So when I say that, that doesn't mean I know that for a fact. I just kind of hope it, I suppose. And those of us that try not to eat sugar, you know, we'll have sugar licks all around our property so we can just take a lick. No, I'm just kidding. But again, that's not in the scriptures. It's just things that we talk about, but we do know that the streets are gold. It is the purest gold that is possible. It is transparent. And that's hard for us to imagine. We know the beauty of heaven. These things are shown here in the scripture. And then we know there will also be, and I come to what I call number 15. I'm not sure how you're following. According to chapter 22 and verse 3, the Bible says, and his servants shall serve him. There will be service in heaven. His servants shall serve him, those that were saved. Now again, it doesn't say what type of service. It is not clear the type of service. We know that we'll be kings. We'll know that we'll have authority. We understand that from the scriptures. We talked about that before. But those who were saved, there's going to be service. There's going to be serving God. You say, oh, I didn't think there'd be work. Well, you know, when you serve God, you don't always call it work. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to serve God. I was thinking, you know, about preaching 12 times, and for some people that would be, they would say, oh, that's a lot of work. And I'm not saying it's not work to preach. Somebody once attributed one sermon to an 8-hour day. I don't know if that's true or not, as far as your brain, your body, all of that working. But I enjoy preaching. That's what I do. That's what I've done for many, many years. So I enjoy that, and yet I enjoy serving God. And when you can serve God, there are so many things that we can do. It only makes sense that there would be serving, that we'd be able to serve God in heaven. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12, just a couple of verses to look at. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. It says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny, wait a minute, that's not my verse that I was looking for. 2 Timothy 2:12, that is it. Huh, we shall reign with him. So I guess, you know, there's that, I think I just mentioned that about the authority that we have. We'll reign. Is that the type of service? It is a type of service to reign with the Lord, to have authority with the Lord. In Revelation 22:5, the same word is used, we'll reign with him. And R-E-I-G-N. And so we will have that opportunity. Again, the Bible doesn't say what kind of service it will do. There certainly won't be any need for, as we've said before, funeral directors. Amen. Won't be any need for doctors, nurses, hospitals, none of that. We won't need anybody to sell caskets. Amen. We won't need the electric company, I don't think, anyway, because he's obviously there could be other, anyway, you follow all that. But so there's opportunities to serve in heaven. And the Bible says, it goes on, says in verse 4, they shall see his face. They shall see his face. Now, sinful man in sinful flesh cannot look upon his face. It's very interesting. The Bible does talk about the face of the Lord and being able to see him. And notice Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. I was asked during my ordination the one question that I was asked that I wasn't able to answer. And that was when, and it was a preacher, Brother Hughes, was a pastor there in down in Pensacola, and he was on the ordination council, and he, in his southern drawl, he said, Brother Rogers, he said, when you die and go to heaven, what part of the Godhead will you see? And I just stared, like, I wasn't ready for that. I mean, I was ready to answer questions about the King James Bible. I was ready to answer questions about the Trinity. But I wasn't ready for that. And I just kind of stared. And he kind of laughed because, and some of the men, the other pastors on the board at that time, they kind of were looking around like, I wonder what the answer is to this. Anyway, but the Bible does give the answer. It says, for in him, talking about Jesus, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And so we'll see the face of Jesus when we get to heaven. 1 John 3, verse 2. Now again, the glorified Christ, the transfiguration, we have that story in the scripture. 1 John 3 and verse 2. John talked about seeing Jesus and handling him, touching him, shaking his hand. 1 John 3, verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is in all his glory. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5 and verse 8. Matthew 5:8, the Bible says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Hebrews 12:14. The Bible says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord." Again, follow peace with all men and holiness. How can we have holiness? How can we be holy? Well, we can't other than the blood of Jesus Christ. And so those who have not been saved, obviously, they will not be able to see Him. It is, according to Revelation 22:4, His name shall be in their foreheads. And again, the contrast with the 666, the mark of the beast that we talked about during the height of the tribulation. And we are known by His name. Will there be a Doug Rogers in heaven? Well, I know that I will be there, but my name is not going to matter, and your name does not matter. Maybe we'll know each other because we knew our names here, but His name is the name that matters. And by the way, His name's the name that matters down here too. And anything that we might be is only because of Him. And so it only makes sense that we would be marked by His name. There is not going to be any gloating, any bragging in heaven. There's not going to be anybody that I guarantee you. You know, you may feel like, well, you know, I've done a lot of things, you know, and I'm pretty great. And I'm going to talk about that this morning. I mean, here we're about to have the Lord's Supper this morning, and there's no reason for us to think that we're anything. Dale and I were talking this morning about all the things we were tempted with. Of course, Dale's old. He was tempted with all the sins of the 40s, the third, no. The alcohol, the drugs, the cigarettes, all that kind of stuff. And by the grace of God, I'm not hooked on any of it. That's just by the grace of God. It's not because of me. If it was me, I'd be hooked on all of it. But it's the grace of God Almighty. And thank God for that. Thank God we're in church this morning and we're not, just waking up. Well, this would be a little early. But with a hangover. Amen? Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. I mean, I am kind of struggling. Well, but to have His name, that's what it's all about. When we get to heaven, hey, who are you? I'm a blood-bought believer. That's who I am. Well, how'd you get here? That's the only way. There isn't any other way. There's nothing that you can say. For by grace he is saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Because if we got to heaven because of what we did, that's all we'd hear about. You understand, all of heaven, all of it, everything we're talking about, all the beauty and everything, it's all about Him. It is not anything about us. Amen. And all the stuff about us, death, sickness, all that's gone. We're responsible for all that. That's because of sin. Sorrow, pain, tears, all that's gone. There's none of that. Amen. Some of you need to get excited. Amen. Just kind of think about that. Well, the Bible says then there's no night. There's another thing. No night. Wow. Boy, night. It just seems like bad things always happen at night, right? And now I admit some good things happen, but the Bible does say very, very clearly that in verse 5, there shall be no night there. Now, we know there are months because verse 2 told us that there are months. Verse 2 of chapter 22, it does talk about that the tree of life yields her fruit every month. So we know there are months somehow, but we seem to believe there's not, it's not a time marked like we would mark it. And so it's just always, there's no night. It's just always light because He is the light. Verse 5. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. Now again, that's one of those amazing things in reference to a city, a house, a dwelling place. In my Father's house are many mansions, but there's no candles. Therefore, the Lord is the light of all of it. And a candle would indicate, what if I want to go down into my cellar, in my mansion? Well, I don't know that you'll have a cellar. What if I want to go into my closet? And I don't know what to tell you on that other than, it doesn't appear that there's going to be any need. There will be no candle. Therefore, I don't think there'll be any flashlights and no artificial light at all. He's the real light. And again, what a wonderful statement of, there's all kinds of artificial this and artificial that, but Jesus is real. He is the real light in the world. And with all that we hear about all the religions and different ideas and thoughts and everything, we know our God is real. Amen? He is the real light. 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1, 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." When the Bible talks about come out from among them and be separate, it says it's very clear that we are not the same. God is light, and Belial and there's the forces of darkness. We're not the same. In him is no darkness at all. So it only stands to reason that our eternal abode will be light. The other side of that, of course, is eternal darkness in a place called hell that is dark because he's not there. I think the worst thing about hell is the fact that God is not there, personally. I can't even imagine what that would be like. So no night, praise the Lord. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Don't have to, we're already, folks are already contemplating there's supposed to be severe storms tonight, And it's always at night. Palm Sunday, 1965, Palm Sunday tornadoes in the month of April of 65. And when was it? It was at night, right? And it just seems like all those things. Well, there's not going to be any night. It's always at night when the phone rings, and I tremble just a little bit because I think, I wonder what this is. And praise God, there will be no night. And then verse 5, it says, "For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And again, there's our word that we come back to. They shall reign forever and ever. And Daniel 7, let's just look at it. You can write it down. Daniel 7, verse 27. Keep track of the time here. Daniel 7 and verse 27. "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him." And we are reigning and ruling. We talked about it way back in Revelation 1 and verse 6. "Hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." chapter 5 and verse 10, the same idea of ruling and reigning. Chapter 5, 10, "Has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Again, some have said that Israel will live on the earth, and all the saved non-Jews will, they'll be in the new heavens and the new in the new heaven. And the Bible just, there are so many things that are not totally clear, other than there will be some authority. We will have some authority in the kingdom. And the parables of the talents talk a little bit, give you that idea. And we realize some of that's for the millennium. We'll rule and reign. I've already asked to be the mayor of Maui. Amen. That just seems to fit me well. And David, he's going to go up onto the Arctic Circle somewhere, I think. He likes cold weather. I don't know that the Bible will allow that or not. So I'm just kidding. So Who are the subjects if we're the ones that are reigning? Well, that'll be debated until Jesus comes, and then we'll know. And so we'll not really try to, you know, humans, obviously, they're the nations. The Bible talks about the nations. Who are these people? And where do they come from? How do they, you know, how are they not reigning? I've heard every kind of thing. Well, it's all the non-Baptists. Well, you know, I don't think you can prove that. But I've heard, you know, I've heard, and there are some people that are very, very serious about that. Now, I'm a Baptist. I am a capital B, capital A, capital B, no, capital P. I know how to spell it. I'm just kidding. Somebody said, well, I thought that was right. Baptist. No, it's Baptist. Anyway, I am one. I really am. And I'm all the way Baptist. But I, you know, I've had people say, well, the marriage supper, the marriage is for the Baptists and the other people are all guests. I just don't see that necessarily. But I, you know, I don't, I'm not going to, it's like from the very beginning, we've taught on Revelation here for the last 3.5 years. Honestly, there are so many things the Bible does not say we would be in danger to try to say. You know, we're not going to add to the scripture. We can speculate, and I do a lot of speculating on that. But anyway, number three, here's something we don't have to speculate on. Number three is the faithful deity. He is always faithful. And verses 6 through 16 talk about his faithfulness. If the ushers will come, we will go ahead and receive our class offering if you'd like to give toward that. That'll be good. But a couple things that I wrote down here in dealing with this passage of Scripture. Number one, or capital A, is his promises. His promises. And the Bible says in verse 6, he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Now, folks, everything God says is faithful and true. It is faithful. What's that mean? You can count on it. The Bible talks about having your ankle out of joint and you hobble. You can't count on it. You can't put your weight down. That's why we limp. When we sprain our ankle, we limp. When something comes out of joint, we have a hard time. We can't count on it. It's like the Bible says also, having a broken tooth. You ever had a broken tooth and you're trying to eat and you're really being very careful to eat? You can't count on it. Well, faithful, God's word, you can always count on it. All right? Very, very clear. These sayings are faithful, and not only faithful, you can count on, but they are true. That means it is the truth. Everything God says, it you can count on it, it is true. Now again, there's a lot of things that we don't understand. There's a lot of things we're not going to understand until we see Jesus. There's a lot of things we're not gonna grasp, you know, because he's God. And I'm so glad I don't understand everything. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. Amen. I'm just so thankful that there's things he knows that I don't know. Amen. That I can trust him. I can rely on him. I can lean on him because he knows a whole lot more than I know. But I can count on him. He's faithful. He's never failed me. He's never let me down. I can count on him. I can count on these sayings. They are faithful and true. And the Bible says, it goes on, it says, and the Lord, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now, here's all I want to say about this is spoken by an angel. Now, is it talking about this book right here, the book of Revelation? Or is it talking about the whole Bible? Again, the Bible, it does not say. We could certainly, you know, say that refers to the whole Bible, or we could say, but I think probably it's referring to the book of Revelation, talking about these things which must shortly be done. So we kind of have to tie that into Revelation, I think. But and let me just say, if it was shortly going to be done in John's day, how much more shortly is it going to be done now? 2,000 years later. Amen. So if it was shortly then, it's shortlier now. And I know shortlier is not a word, but it sounds good. Anyway, so again, this spoken by an angel. Now, John said this. He said in verse 8, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Well, obviously, there is an angel here. Verse 16, the Bible says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. My angel in the churches. And so angel is an interesting word. Angel can refer to an angel. It can refer to a messenger as a pastor of a church. I know you say, Pastor, you are not angelic at all, not even close. I understand that. But the word is messenger, and angels, of course, were that. So again, I'm not trying to take away from the glory of a heavenly angel doing this. Brenda and I have an interesting story. I'll tell you about it sometime, about an angel unawares. You ever think that maybe, now I refer to my wife as an angel, but that's not what I'm talking about here. But you ever have that person that's wanting that cup of water? And all of a sudden, we had an incident right before we left on our trip where somebody needed something and we helped them out, didn't know them, had no idea, just out of the blue, and went out of our way to help somebody out. And then they were gone. And we looked everywhere for them and couldn't find them, and they were gone. And just one of those things. So I'm not trying to be spooky with you or anything. You know, none of that stuff. It is just interesting. John, obviously, there were angels in Revelation. Angels were showing him different things. But again, wording here is interesting. Just this idea of verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. And churches, of course, have a pastor. And so, just something to think about while we're running out of time. So, one thing about it, not only is it faithful and true, another thing about it is sure. There is no question, he says in verse 7, very, very clear, behold, I come quickly. It is sure. I come. That is sure. He is coming. Now, folks, again, we can all speculate as to when that'll be. I mean, in the 80s, he was coming in the 80s. Actually, in the 70s, he was coming in the 80s, right? I mean, my recollection of preaching was the planets are going to line up, remember? And that was going to cause all kinds of catastrophe and things, and the tides would rise, and all these things were going to happen. And that is no doubt, I remember praying, and it will be in the 80s. And it was just sure. And it's like, wow. Amen? And we knew. And then you had the 79, I think that was the book, 79 Reasons Why Jesus Must Come in 79. Remember that? And everybody bought that book. And a whole bunch of people bought that book. So I think that was it, 79 Reasons. Does anybody know, was that it? You have the book? You won't admit that because you heard me talk about it before. I'm never telling anybody. And there were also some of you that stored water during Y2K, right? Water and food, and you still have it? Still have those cans of corn, right? Anyway, I'm not saying you're wrong to do it. But anyway, but 79 Reasons Why Christ Must Come in 79, the guy made a fortune off that, and he didn't come. Now, again, I don't feel too bad about you buying that one, but then he wrote a book, 80 Reasons Why He Has To. And anybody that bought that book, probably you should feel sort of foolish. But anyway, he is coming. He's coming. He's coming. Boy, the more, you know, in our travels, we heard that probably as much as any. I think the Lord's coming soon. We look around. And again, don't think politics is what's going to make him come. He doesn't... he doesn't cater to politics. He's not, you and I, we're concerned about presidential elections and who the president and all that, and we should be. We should pray, and certainly we should vote, but he's not worried. He's not worried about who the president is. He's not worried about what happens. He's not worried about all these kind of things. But he's coming. He's going to come. Praise the Lord. That is a sure thing. The Lord is coming. But here's another thing there is no doubt about. He says, I come quickly. Now, quickly is an interesting concept as to this. Quickly. Certainly, we always think, well, it's going to be soon. And I'm not saying that is necessarily wrong, but quickly is also, the scripture says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Boom. Now, that's coming, that's not coming to the earth, but that's coming as far as the rapture. So there are two ways to take that. How, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and when, that means soon. Verse 12 backs that up. It says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. And then, of course, verse 20, again, he which testified these things says, surely I come quickly. I think that is talking about the when aspect more than the how aspect. But the fact of the matter is, if it was soon, 2,000 years ago, it's got to be sooner, now. And people believed he was coming then. And people all along have believed. You say, well, I think it's discouraging that he doesn't come. I think it's exciting that he's coming. Don't focus on the fact that he hasn't come. Be excited on the fact that he is coming. And be excited that the fact is, since he hasn't come, there's still time for us to do something. And we need to be very, very busy. We just happen to have some activities coming up. We need to be busy. Vacation Bible School. Amen. Have you signed up yet? You say, preacher, you're giving a commercial in Sunday school. Amen. We need help. We need all the help. I mean, seriously, we need older folks. We need younger folks. We need everybody to help out at Vacation Bible School. Oh, those kids drive me nuts. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm with you. You have a little sheet, a little insert in your bulletin about children. And if we can reach them as children, it might be the only hope to reach them. It's hard to reach older folks with the gospel. So we need to reach them. And when they're little terrors, amen, we can reach him. And we have a pretty good Bible school, so help us, please. And the fair ministry's coming too. We need help. Amen. These are great opportunities. If the Lord comes, in my mind, I have no control over it, but I'd kind of like him to wait until after Vacation Bible School and the fair, even though neither of them appeal to my flesh. Amen. But boy, they sure do a lot for my spirit.